Our World Cafe guest today, Butch Walker, is a musical omnivore who continues to explore music from a variety of viewpoints. Early on, he was in the band The Marvelous Three, who had a major indie rock radio hit with Freak of the Week. He's written songs for Pink and Katy Perry and others, and still finds time to concentrate on his solo project, including the new album Sycamore Meadows, which was released late last year. I started out my conversation with him by asking Butch about what he was like when he first started making music.
By the time I hit my teens and I was going to high school, I was the only guy kind of like me at the school I went to. I was in a band. I was playing on playing six nights a week in Atlanta, driving, moonlighting,
wow,
and getting up 3 hours later and going to school. And I was playing in a heavy metal cover band actually at the time, because that's what was popular, and it was raising my money to move to LA when I graduated, which I couldn't wait to do. And the thing is I loved everything, though. I was like a sponge. When I took guitar lessons from this guy and had a girlfriend that was in a new wave. And so here I am hanging out on one side of the parking lot with the metalheads listening to Iron Maiden. And then I'm over here on the other side listening to the Cure and Duran Duran with my girlfriend. And then somewhere down the middle, some singer songwriters creeped in there. So,
well, you're sitting in front of the keyboard. Is that what you usually write on?
I do make it a point sometimes to, throw the guitar down, since it's my main instrument, and try to come out of the box there of writing, because I'll tend to just write everything that sounds the same. And I'm extremely handicapped on a keyboard, on a piano. I'm like three finger guy, so it also doesn't get in the way of the song. I think it just creates just a little background pad for, you know, it's the Hallmark background music.
That's a good way to put it. Well, I made a request for a song that is on this new album, just because it kind of tells your story in shorthand, which is the Going Back, Going Home.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to do a version of that?
Sure. I'll play it on guitar, actually. There's a very verbose section in the middle of it that if I have to stop for a breath for a millisecond, forgive me.
All right.
I'm not happy with myself these days. I took the best parts of the script and I made them all cliche. And this red bandana's surely gonna fade, even though it's the only thing the fires didn't take. Everybody says you'll grow alive from this experience. Maybe B comes in after a while, become a president. Blessings get disguised sometimes, but all I know is I finally know the difference between going back and going home. Mm. There's a lady on my block that has a kid. As he swims in the above ground pool, she seals up the lid. And he thinks it's kinda normal that she hides up the cuts and all the bruises. She says it's war paint for the eyes. She tells her son she did the best she could as she buries dad. Maybe he'll grow up to be a man, unlike his father did, as he leave the driveway for the northern snow. Well, they finally know the difference between going back and going home. Cut to a life being born in 69. Middle class suburbs, everything's fine. Fondue parties, my mom and my dad. Drinks being drunk and fights being had. I lost my virginity to a girl in my band. She was 4 years older, she made me a man. So addicted to sex, every chance that I got with whoever I wanted, until I got caught. So I took my penicillin and I took my band to a town made of glitter girls and cocaine friends. Got handed the dream by the age of 18. Saw more than most people that I know would ever see. Played every bar, drank till black and blue. Did the morning show broadcast and went to China too, where they left us to die. Got a ticket to free or a sight and a riot. We were only 23. Packed it up, started over just as fast as we can. Making tapes, selling merch in the back of a van. Living hand to mouth for the next 5 years. Took up drinking wine, gave up drinking beer. Signed another big deal with the devil in a dress. A one hit wonder I think described us best. Decided to burn out, then to fade away. Went back to the van the very next day. Built it up, started over just built it up, made a living without any help. I made amazing friends, if I say so myself. If living like this at 39 is a bore, then come on, God, please give me 38 more. 39 more. I just had a birthday today. It confused me. Everybody knows I've seen a lot. Yeah, I'm experienced. Makes you feel so old after a while. Like our last president. Every time I come back in this town, I know, 'cause I finally know the difference between going back and going home.
That's Butch Walker, who's playing live today. And that is one that is on the new album, which is named after where you used to live in Malibu, Sycamore Meadows.
Yeah, yeah, it was a street I lived on.
And you lost your house.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Wow.
It was kind of a crazy thing, you know. I lost the house in the wildfires last year. And I was in New York, and there was no one home when it happened, thank God, you know. Me and my fam were up in New York, and I was playing shows, and I had two shows in Jersey. And after the first show, you know, I got home at probably 4 o'clock in the morning and got woke up about an hour later to a friend who was dog sitting my two dogs at the house. And he said, something's up. And so I just said, well, you should probably take the dogs and get out of there. And, you know, yeah. Within an hour, you know, I've got people calling me, and and that was that. So it, you know, took pretty much in about an hour's time, everything I ever owned and worked for my entire life. And it was crazy. It was a very emotional time, I guess, but cathartic at the same time, because, you know, you feel like extremely plumbed out and cleansed and free to do whatever you want to do at that point, because you got nothing else to do. I came home with two suitcases to my name, you know?
Yeah, you had a lot of memories in the house, a lot of instruments, a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I pretty much collected gear with my hard-earned money since I was a little dude. You know, I had my first guitar I ever got when I was 8 years old that I learned everything on, all the way up to, you know, some pretty pricey vintage gear that I'd collected over the years. So probably lost about 30 vintage guitars and, you know, just tons of stuff. But the hardest things to lose were not those, because somewhat replaceable. And monetarily it's okay, because that stuff was partially, you know, insured, I guess, for a certain amount of money. And that didn't really bother me too much as it was things like my girl's parents are both died of cancer, and he was a three-star general fighter pilot, and all of his war medals and his burial flag and dog tags and all these things that were more like her mother's baby crib, just really things that really hurt. That really hurt to lose. And funny enough, one of my friends, Ryan, who lived out there, who tried to go to the house to rescue anything he could, and he got there and the house was just ablaze, and he said it already had burned to the ground. And he went back 3 days later, because we were stuck out in New York the whole time, and he said you couldn't make out anything in the entire wreckage, but for some reason, miraculously, the only thing he could find recognizable was those medals and those dog tags.
I was going to say, the dog tags, if all they're made to survive that.
Yeah, and the medals, too. They were charred and burned, and, you know. Yeah. But he had them and put them in a glass case behind a flag and gave them to us when we got home.
So. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Butch Walker is our guest, and you work a lot. I understand you play like a couple hundred dates a year with this band. Does your production work and your writing work make that easier to do financially, or is it the other way around? I mean, what's your relationship with the music business?
Yeah, I haven't really made I haven't made a whole lot of money off of playing music myself, but producing records is it's a whole other profession, and I liken it to a day job, if you will. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where I've never set out to get into that world except for producing my own music. And I think once I had a couple of records out there, people started calling, other artists started calling, oh, I liked what you did on your record. Will you do it for me? And so when I did that, it was weird to like be able to finally make money at it. I don't ever use that money to fund my artist touring or anything. I've always prided myself on keeping the two, that I don't cross collateralize either one. I keep the day job separate, you know, keep that money in the bank so I can, you know, have a family and make that happen. But it actually affords me one thing, and it affords me the freedom to not worry so much about what I want to do and chase my tail as an artist and trend follow and things like that. So I don't feel like I have to constantly be doing what a hot band at the moment is doing in order to be successful. And I love that. I feel like that's success within itself, you know.
Well, I congratulate you because you're one of the few people I talk to that's actually making money in the music business.
So. In some way, at least. At least it's, you know, at least it's still in music, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, all right. What do you want to do next?
I'll play a song on this keyboard here with my three fingers that I use. This is called Past Your Place, Saw Your Car, Thought of You.
Now, honey, dry your eyes. Get back in the car. There's no need to take it this way. That's what she said when I shot off the head of our love on that one Saturday. I've got my share of faults, this much is true. I talk too much about me to everyone I know. But the one thing that I do now is talk more about you and how I can't believe I just let you go. There's never a pill strong enough to make me feel like all your fingers could do. I passed your place, I saw your car, I thought of you. Ooh. say before you passed away. Love was just a word before you showed it to me. 20 years ago, when I just let you go, I didn't think this is where it would be. Now, honey, dry your eyes, get back to your life. There's no need to end it this way. That's what I tell myself in the mirror by the shelf, where your picture still hangs today. There's never a pill strong enough to make me feel like all your fingers did do. I passed your place, there was no car. I thought of you.
Butch Walker, passed your place, saw your car, thought of you. Now, when you play that live, where do you put it in the set? That's such a powerful little moment.
Thanks. I play it like close to the top of the set. I come out usually and play by myself for like the first five or six songs without the band, and I think that's probably like one of the first three or four songs I play.
Wow, with good reason.
Thanks.
It's interesting that there's these two parts of your career, because clearly, you know, 200 dates a year, you're really going out there. You're really supporting yourself this way. But you've worked with a lot of people, and does your songwriting change when you work with somebody like Avril Lavigne? Or I noticed, isn't Pink on this?
Pink is singing backgrounds on a song in there, which, funny, I didn't put any credits in the record, and just because I don't like people thinking that I'm just being gratuitous by getting, you know, people that I work with in my day profession to end up on my records, because my records are so much, my music is so much different than the kind of stuff I do for my day job. I mean, producing records like for those people, obviously the highest profile things, and people know about those, but they never know about half of the records that you do that never really sold anything or did anything, but were from more, you know, interest, like different genres. And it's a given. I'm going to do a couple of those a year, and then I'm going to do a couple of records by someone maybe that I don't even think has a chance at all, but I love their music, and it's self-gratifying for me to do, because I think you can't just always be a slave to money.
Well, you didn't put Pink on your album, but I was looking at Katy Perry disc.
Sometimes you don't know, like with Katy, I did that record I did a couple of songs for that record like 3 years ago, and then all of a sudden she's dropped, repicked up, dropped, picked back up. I think she got dropped twice since I did those things, and I didn't think anything was ever going to come of them. And next thing you know, she's out now. She's big, and those couple of songs made the record, which is another thing, because I don't necessarily expect to get songs on those records when they have 100 songs and 100 producers. It's just, you know, it's just like, let me just not get too attached to that. That's why I'm to my own music. I'm way more precious with the songs.
What's weird about the music business is that there's that end of things, where you have to have a record where you need 100 producers, because you've got to have something that breaks through in a huge way to pay for all the people who worked on the record.
That's right. And they get paid. It's expensive making pop records, I think.
And then here you can survive. You know, this is on your label. This is on your nut when you go out on tour. So it's really interesting, both sides of that.
Yeah.
We want to bring other folks in, or what's next?
For sure. I've got the guys in my band are here, and they're just going to come help sing a little doo-wopping and strumming a little bit stuff. So I got Wes, and I got Darren, and I got Fran, and I got Chris from my band.
So here comes a heartache, the move-out date, excuses for my friends. Here comes the reasons I have to justify it was better in the end. Here comes the last time I'm gonna kiss you, and the first night sleeping alone. Here comes the hardest thing we've ever known. you're sleeping, I can always hear you breathe. Don't you think it's about time that we talk? You got a bad feeling, and I feel I do agree. And I know how hard it is to be the easiest thing to love. And making love will never mean enough. So here comes the heartache, the move-out day. Excuses for my friends. Here comes the reasons I have to justify. It was better in the end. Here comes the last time I'm gonna kiss you, and the first night sleeping alone. Here comes the hardest thing we've ever known. Weekend, so we could figure some things out. How the hell did it ever come to blow? Some people find happiness, others are happy to find one more reason not to ever get love or give it in return. No, you can't lose fire when there's nothing left to burn. Comes the heartache, the move-out day, excuses for my friends. Here comes the reasons I have to justify. It was better in the end. Here comes the last time I'm gonna kiss you, and the first night eating alone. Here comes the hardest thing. Heartache, the move-out day, excuses for my friends. These are the reasons I have to justify. It was better in the end. This is the last time I'm gonna kiss you, and the first night drinking alone. This is the hardest thing. This is the hardest thing. This is the hardest thing.
Butch Walker's playing live for us today on the cafe, and that's Here Comes the ... song on the new album called Sycamore Meadows. Thanks a lot for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. This has been really fun and really special.
And congratulations on the new album, Sycamore Meadows, on Very Independent, so look for it.
Yeah, yeah, it's out there. It's out there. You can find it.
From Butch Walker. And we'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe.